Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Well, here we are again on Circles of Change Radio and live web stream show. You know, many people ask me how it is I encounter such interesting guests. And the next guest, it is absolutely in the quintessential category. I was at a conference recently in Chicago, and the keynote speaker, Gary Schwartz, who you're going to meet here shortly, I was absolutely thrown back in my chair in terms of how much I learned in such a short amount of time. And at the same time, I looked around and realized that probably three quarters of the audience had no clue what Gary was talking about. So to that extent, it's always to bring somebody here who's way ahead of the curve. So Gary Schwartz from Impact Mobile, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sarah.
Well, indeed. In fact, he called his presentation From Click to Ka-Ching. So if that doesn't get your attention, folks, let me give a brief intro. Gary is the founder and CEO of Impact Mobile, a firm that helps clients integrate mobile into their overall media strategy. He's based in Toronto, as well colleagues in L.A., New York, and Richmond, and they serve key industry verticals, including sports, retail, finance, entertainment, publishing, and no sooner do I say that, but TV and radio broadcasting. So you can imagine I'm going to be taking notes this morning. Over the past 10 years, Gary has played a leadership role in the mobile industry. He's also a pioneer in mobile marketing, having managed the first cross-carrier short code mobile campaign in North America. With an eye on influencing sustainable best practices and also innovating the right standards to keep the playing field open, in 2006, Gary founded the Mobile Committee for the Interactive Advertising Bureau. He's also now chairman of the board of the Mobile Entertainment Forum in North America, which charged with developing a mobile commerce practice to service brands, retailers, and content owners. Gary began working at the forum in 2011, just this year, to develop M-commerce security and privacy guidelines with several respected industry groups, including the X9 Security Standards Body. He's a recipient of the Asia and Japan Foundation Fellowship, Macromedia People Choice Award, and the Dodge Foundation Award for Innovation, and Gary is truly a voice of a changing business landscape. He's a resident of Toronto and a father of five children from ages 1 to 17, so both personally and professionally, he sits right in this epicenter of technology that's shifting our everyday lives. So it's a pleasure to welcome him on the show and also congratulate him on the recent publication of his new book, The Impulse Economy, Understanding Mobile Shoppers and What Makes Them Buy. So welcome again.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very
much. Well, the thing, if you folks would have a copy of this book in front of you, like I have the pleasure of, there's this red dot on it. It says, the first ever smart book. Tap your NFC phone right here. So, Gary, explain to those who may not be conversant in all these terminologies, what is that dot and how is that so key to now the launch of your book?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I live in a world where mobile is rudely interrupting a number of verticals. One of them is publishing. And as you know, a lot of people read from the cloud. Mm-hmm. They download, you know, books to the Kindle and the Nook. And the book on the shelf sometimes, and of course not all the times because people love to snuggle up in bed with a physical book. Sometimes I go into the bookstore to look at the book and then I'm potentially saying, hey, I'll buy it in the cloud. You know, I'll buy it when I get home or I'll buy it, you know, right now off my phone. What this allows the consumer to do is tap on the book with a newer phone. It would be very few in the market, but this is somewhat leading edge. Tap their phone on the book, and it will open up into a relationship with you to basically intercept that impulse to buy somewhere else and start a relationship with you right on the book. So you can obviously investigate the book right there, go into the blog. It would open up the browser automatically by just tapping, or you can absolutely go in and buy the book through that tap. That is the way that mobile is developing right here and now. There are other ways of engaging. You yourself in your show engage with other channels. You have a text messaging channel mm-hmm. to engage with your readers, etc. But where things are going is to a more fluid engagement, and instead of saying do this to do that, if I could just tap my phone and I don't have to open anything. I don't have to click on anything. I don't have to scan on anything. I just have to tap. That allows for less interruption. And when you have less interruption, you have less abandonment of intent. So in the world of shopping, that's a big plus, because I guess I get less abandoned shopping carts along the way. If I want it, I can get it, I can tap, and I can buy.
Well, and here's the other side of it, of course, is the technologies that are required to make this happen. You not only want them to be able to tap, and in your case, for the select people that'll get that tap on your book and can download for free maybe the first chapter or those little scintillating things that get us hooked, but to picture someday I can tap and then automatically my cell phone becomes, as I want you to explain, this the idea of a mobile wallet that I no longer need to carry my five different credit cards that I'm always dropping or I forget behind with the clerk or whatever, and it seamlessly goes right into my account, which also might be a frightening thought because I might not keep track of how much I'm clicking things then.
Well, that somewhat is the goal.
Yeah, exactly. As a marketing guy, that is the goal, but you're thinking, but I really mean to click that.
Right. The phone, of course, is a convergence tool. It is our media is converging on this device. Our entertainment, our communication has always been there, but now a lot more of our communication channels are converging. And even the whole term a mobile device is changing at the same time. Because mobile is such a sexy word, you know, folks that sell portable devices like tablets call them mobile devices. Even TV sets, if you tether them to the cloud, you know, through a wireless connection, you know, with the new networks that are coming out that are very fast, potentially a TV is a wireless device. The bottom line is everything's converging on this tool, and the banks and financial institutions also want to take advantage of this and basically take good old George Costanza's exploding wallet with all that stuff in it that you remember George had in his chats with Jerry at Tom's Diner. They want to take that and they want to shove everything into this clean interface to allow for all your loyalty, all your payment, everything to be into in one application. And they do that through the same technology that we were just talking about. So NFC, or near field communication, is the technology that you put into that sticker that you were talking about in the book. Instead of tapping a sticker and jumping into a marketing conversation, you can actually tap something at point of sale, at the cash register, and that turns into a payment conversation. And you may have seen it. McDonald's has a contactless little signal on their point of sale. You can tap a contactless card there. In the future, as Google Wallet and other organizations like ISIS, which is all the carriers getting together, all the AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile and creating a wallet, these are competing wallets for that future idea of tapping at cash register and paying. It's very secure. It's much more secure than your existing cowhide wallet, but the reality is that there's a lot of things that need to happen before that becomes the channel of choice. It's coming over the next few years for sure. There are trials in place right now.
Well, your book is really a great voyage that takes us back through 120 some odd years of technology and ups and downs and fits and starts and do we have regulation, don't we, etc., that takes us up to the modern day. And there's some really striking points you make. For example, if you think about some of the first mobile commerce, actually, Gary, you talked about it was in the context of helping people in Haiti.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Haiti was actually a turning point because, you know, their proliferation of solutions that come on in any technology, and it's kind of confusing. You know, where do I start as a retailer? Mm-hmm. Where do I start as a consumer? Where do I start as a brand to leverage the phone? Because everybody's talking about something else that they can do on the phone. When Haiti came and there was a dire need to get cash from people's pockets to place of need, what happened is that everybody realized that the most ubiquitous channel was the easiest channel to engage in to get money from point A to point B. And so it all came down to the channel that's used the most on the phone, which is SMS or text messaging.
Text messaging.
And you, no matter what the bells and whistles and exciting things you can do with your phone, the most exciting thing you can do with the phone is having reach and frequency. In other words, having as many people using the same feature across America as possible. If you have that, then you have the ability to say on a radio show, hey guys, pick up your phone and text this to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very powerful. What's sexy is it works. The technology is old. It's paging technology that was, co-opted by consumers from Europe and turned into a messaging protocol. It's old technology. But what's exciting is that at a time of need, people could text a keyword to a short code, and that triggered a $10 fee that was billed to your wireless carrier bill seamlessly. And overnight, they raised $40 million on these micropayments.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very powerful signal. And what it's signaling is, if you need a consumer to engage with you, if you need somebody, a citizen to engage with you, use something that's in their pocket and use the thing that the channel that they use the most. And it's a lesson that we all heeded. And I think that the industry realizes that, you can do a whole pile on simple protocols on the phone. Retailers, brands, all are leveraging that channel now to drive huge profit to their enterprise.
Yes. Well, I think the other thing, I remember you started your speech, your talk to the group by saying that a survey was done that asked people, what would you rather lose, your wallet or your phone?
Right.
And it was striking how many people said, absolutely, I would rather lose my wallet first.
Well, it's interesting because if you, not that I'd like you to test this out, but if
right.
you lose your wallet or lose your phone, statistics say that people will recognize that they've lost their phone within 1 hour and notify notify authorities or call their carrier.
Mm-hmm.
It takes up to 24 hours to realize that you've lost your wallet. That is not always the case, but that's the average. And so when you think about what is essential, sometimes I leave the house without a wallet. Am I going to turn around my car and drive back for it? If I don't really need it today, I can live without it. If I can borrow a few dollars for a coffee, maybe I can live without it. If I leave my phone at home, I am turning around going back because I need to be able to communicate with my family. That is an essential channel for me.
Do you know both those instances happened to me this week, and I did exactly what you said. I just kept driving. Even I didn't have my wallet because I figured, well, my friend can buy lunch for me this time. But you know what? I turned around and drove back 10 minutes and made me late for my meeting on the other end, but I wasn't going to go without my phone.
It is a very powerful tool, and
it caught me. Oh man!
It's in everybody's pocket.
Now, the other thing we should clarify, of course, and you say this so nicely. In fact, there's a lovely illustration that shows, Cro-Magnon man, which was preceded by the ape, which then shows him back sitting down again. But this idea that when we say the word phone, there's a generation of us that think that means you've got it to your ear and you're talking. But actually, you remind us now that no, this is more about the nose to the phone, not the ear to the phone.
Right. I mean, the phone is basically a data device now.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, up until the age of 55, the average consumer is messaging on that phone more than they're actually having it to the ear and calling. So, when I'm using my phone, I'm using it actually as a baby PC. I have my head down and I have it in my hand and, I bump into the odd tree. And actually, as a presentation, I made the joke that ironically, the mobile device somewhat makes us immobile because when I have that in my hand, I'm not as mobily alert and upright as I am without it. And that's the balance. It's a sensory and data orthotic. It helps us do things. It enriches our life. It enriches the way that we get data and information on shopping and other things. But it also hinders the way that we engage with our environment. And it's that balance that we need to really play with. And then when you call a portable device, a tablet, a mobile device, it's actually not. It's something that allows us to put it, we can keep it in our bag, we can get to point A to point B, but when we get to point B and we want to take it out, we're immobile. It's very, very few people are trying to run across a shopping mall holding a tablet in their hands.
That's right. Well, you know, indeed, Gary, that's the expertise, of course, that your company, Mac Mobile, is going for, and your work and your book is okay. Now let's talk about bridging the technology now to actually getting that point so that people will click. And then you'll hear the metaphor of the cash register go ka-ching. And it's very interesting, I thought, struck me when you comment in your book that two clicks is too many. You may have already lost them.
Exactly. I mean, you always have to, as a retailer, and you can actually prove this out as a consumer, just measure how many clicks it takes to get to your goal content or to that checkout if you're actually trying to buy something. So every click is going to be disastrous for the retailer or the brand, because on every click there's going to be humongous drop off on the consumer side. So if I'm on my mobile device and I'm nose to screen, I'm very, very much engaged. But as soon as I decide that this is too much of a hassle and I need to get on with my day, and I move my nose away from my phone and I throw that phone back into my pocket or wherever it domiciles, I'm not coming back. And so, you know, I always say two clicks is one click too many. By far, seven clicks you're into death throes. So you need to be able to say, look, I have a targeted message, I have a targeted interaction. Do you want it? Click checkout. And if you can't make that happen, you know, you may as well think of another strategy to engage with the consumer, because you're definitely not going to convert them on that interaction.
Now, I'm sure we've got leaders of companies and entrepreneurs that are listening to this, and they're saying, well, gee, Gary, I've just plowed in all this money for my website. I've done search engine optimization. You know, I'm putting little tabs and doodads and giveaways. Now comes the world of mobile. And they're saying, so what's the big deal? I just convert this over to my mobile phone. But those are very different sites, aren't they?
They are, and I think the thing to take away from this is you either think of mobile as another place that you build out. You know, I'm going to build an app, I'm going to build a storefront, I'm going to build something on the mobile phone that mirrors all the things that I do on my other, you know, the other touch points that I have, my store or my online or my catalog or whatever it is. I'm going to build it again on a mobile device. Or, and it may be in parallel, you can think of the mobile device as a way of connecting all your existing touch points. So the most productive way of seeing mobile is by having it reinvent and resuscitate some of the places in your business that are not performing. So, for example, if I'm if I have, you know, an opt-in online, I've opted people in to communicate, but I have to get them into the store to buy something. Mm-hmm. Well, how am I going to get them from point A to point B? And if I know that they're at the PC with their phone and then they're in my store with the phone, mm-hmm, I can use that as a wonderful bridge. Another obvious bridge is if I have a Facebook site and I have the thousands of folk that I have opted in to, you know, to engage with me in a social environment, well, that's great, but how am I monetizing that? How am I driving that across to, you know, Save the Horses or other charities? Mm-hmm. What I can do there is I can ask them, I can put a mobile widget in there, Facebook widget, which a provider can build for you very simply, to allow them to put their mobile number in and drive them across to your donation site. So it's all about moving the consumer. So mobility is all about moving, and you need to take advantage of that. And the business that can take advantage of seamlessly using the phone as a device to move the consumer is the business that's going to win over the next few years.
Well, the other thing you say is, you know, if we think about it historically, back in your book, you started with the wonderful reminder about the Sears and Roebuck catalog, that
right,
from the catalog eventually turned to the stores. And lo and behold, what do we see? Sears going back to now the new catalog, which is the mobile phone.
Right.
It's like this entire coming around full circle, because it's all at the end of the day, it's our own behavior. And like any of these devices, it's the idea of I want my content my way, by my choice, right?
Very much so. But there is a subtle difference, and I think this is sort of the evolution of you know, the technology is that when you had a store, you know, back in the old days when you had a concession store in the prairies, or you have a store, a modern store in a downtown urban area, it has a limited aisle. You go to a store, you know they're not going to have everything on a shelf. It's just impossible. They only have so much shelf space. So it's limited aisle. You go there to shopping list, you know you're going to buy certain things and you're out of there. If you want more specialized engagement, you're going to go to the web, because the web is what we call endless aisle. It really, you could have a warehouse in you know, the middle of the desert, that could hold as much stuff as you want, and somebody puts an order in and it's shipped. That's endless aisle. Mobile is not endless aisle. Mm-hmm. Mobile, because it's small screen and it's targeted messaging, and it's that blink and dwell time between the red light or the elevator ride. It's that moment that I have to engage with something in a blink. That is targeted aisle.
And well, you'd also say that
your consumer.
Right, the other side of that, because of your potential connection and your loyalty you build with that consumer, it's targeted from the standpoint of showing him or her something that's relevant to them, right? It can push push a coupon to their favorite restaurant, or as long as you're at the mall, you know, one block down is the best pizza place, and we know you like pizza.
Exactly, and that's the targeted nature of the phone, is understanding your consumer and engaging in a loyalist relationship. If you are engaging with the consumer because, you know, they just came into a promotion that you ran and they wanted to win a trip to Las Vegas, but they don't really care about your brand, when you talk to them, they're going to opt out. They're not going to care about that conversation. It's definitely not going to do anything for you. If you talk to somebody who cares about your brand, then you get into their circle of trust. And just like a text messaging conversation, you know, Zara, if you counted how many people that are in your text messaging circle of trust, you know, maybe 10 and maybe 20, some people have, you know, 50, but it's a limited group that you trust to talk to in an intimate way. You will let a few brands into that circle of trust. If you are one of the brands that are let into that circle of trust, you are going to be able to really exploit that in a very intimate relationship to drive your goals. And as I say, they could be commercial goals, they could be nonprofit goals, they could be political goals. The point is that you want to get into that circle of trust, and that's you know, an iterative process. And if you get in there, that's the holy grail of mobile marketing.
Absolutely. Well, Gary, you've got a tremendous career in riding a storm. You're on some waves, ahead of waves, on the waves, whatever, from Impact Mobile. Tell me, what's been some of your own personal biggest ahas as you've continued into this field about being right in this nexus of change for you personally?
Well, you know, if it was to take away one learning, it's not to be excited and follow shiny object. Mm-hmm. Mobile, as most technologies, are full of, you know, incredible solutions. As a business or as a consumer, usually we aren't mobile technology players. We shouldn't care, outside of an intellectual interest, in shiny objects. We should care about things that are going to perform for us here and now. And stuff that works is sometimes the stuff that is not as exciting, but gives you ubiquitous reach. And what has performed over the last 10 years in mobile for me, and what continues to surprise me, is the simple stuff. And with, you know, from the feature phone to the smartphone, really the phone as a communication device has not changed. It used to be a messaging device, a non-smartphone. Now as a smartphone, it's a messenger device. You use that channel, you will be able to win. And that's the biggest aha I've had over the last 10 years.
That's wonderful. Well, Gary Schwartz, who's CEO of Impact Mobile, you can learn more about his company and services at impactmobile.com, and as well as his new book, theimpulseeconomy.com. And when you pass through the next airport and you find it on the shelf, you'll see that red dot. Click right on it, and you're off to the races. Thank you very much, Gary. Congratulations on your efforts. We'll look forward to keeping track of how you're leading change in your particular field.
Thank you very much, Heather.
You bet. It's a real pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.
544-2580.